Christmas is such an interesting time. It's filled with such happiness and joy. I think a lot of people have such strong, intense emotions about Christmas because they draw on their own experiences, maybe from childhood. And some of you maybe didn't have the best childhood, and maybe your Christmas experiences weren't so great. So maybe you're trying to build those now. But it's a season of lights and treats and gifts. But Christmas time can also be a place where words can wound. People can get their feelings hurt because we're around people, one, we're around people that we don't see that often. So sometimes we're still trying to find out how to communicate with people. Sometimes we carry grudges and problems from years ago that we think everybody's moved on with, and you're still carrying it around, and you say words or you make a comment. And so there's a lot of reasons why at Christmas time we find out that words can wound, and it can actually rob people of the joy at Christmas time. Today we're getting a brand new series called Ugly Christmas Sweater. And the Ugly Christmas Sweater, I think, is the perfect metaphor that I'm talking with the Christmas season. Now, my mother loved Christmas sweaters. We lived in West Virginia. Cold weather, you could wear sweaters. You can't wear sweaters in Florida. You just burn up and poof, you're on fire. So you can't really, you wear ugly tent, if you have an ugly Christmas t-shirt, you can wear that. How about for this series? But sweaters, well, my mom would never have called them ugly Christmas sweaters. She would have said they are colorful and whimsical. And I said they were ugly, but not to her. What's funny is that their popularity kind of waned, and then they kind of came back in a big way with ugly Christmas sweater parties. How many of you heard of those? Yeah, that came to be a big thing. You know, who can wear the ugliest, gaudiest, strangest looking Christmas sweater? And so it almost became a fun contrast. But there are much less fun things that happen in Christmas time, like ugly words and actions and thoughts and motives that get into the season and just puts a little taint to it. We all know Christmas is meant to be for joy and for happiness and the birth of our Savior. It's time for celebration with family, with loved ones. And for years here at OCC, at Thanksgiving time and at Christmas time, we have a couple families who've said, hey, if you know of anybody who doesn't have a place to be, please have them come to our home. I know this year that Don and Betty opened their home for that. Said, anybody who needed a place, just send them to us. And we were out of town this year for Thanksgiving, but typically that's what we've done along with the Barretts. And so there are plenty of people here who have a heart that wants to celebrate and reach out to other people. And I think that happens at Christmas as well. We want to be around people who need a place to be at Christmas and want to have that exciting time. And in this series, we're going to talk about challenges directly at Celebrate Christmas. And we want to talk about things that will lift us up rather than tear us down. Christmas can also be kind of a stressful time. A lot of cooking, a lot of decorating, a lot of fatigue. People coming into your home, you're not used to coming in. Sometimes crowds, sometimes family. You know, sometimes you can't pick your family. They're just there and you're stuck with them. But they come for Christmas. And again, this series, I want to look at the first topic of this Ugly Sweaters series is ugly thoughts. The problems begin with us, not other people. See, we're responsible for our thoughts. The Bible's clear about that all the way through. So when we talk about ugly thoughts, the first thing we need to do is get our thoughts in order. Just get them in order. I bet every person in this room can relate to the idea of getting down the Christmas boxes and decorations, and you get to the one that says lights. And you open it up, and it looks something like that. How many of you can relate to that? Oh, yeah. You know what my job was as the youngest in the family? You know it, untangling the lights. Everybody's out decorating, putting things up, putting this. I'm sitting at the kitchen table. This stupid light goes over here. You know, and I would work, and I'd get these lights, and they'd come in and just snatch them away, hand me another ball of lights. And that's what I did for Christmas decorating. Because I was the youngest, I couldn't reach all those spots, but I could untangle lights. And I wasn't too wild about it. I, if you can tell, I still have issues today about Christmas lights. But they ended up like the Gordian knot. You couldn't do much with them. You know, we have kind of our lives like that, in that sometimes they get tangled up into quite a mess. And like that tangle of lights, maybe your thoughts also get jumbled and reflect ugly words, and God's way of cutting through that is to have a different way of thinking. And some of our best lessons from God's word are about putting things in order. We just got finished up studying about a month and a half ago the book of Philippians, and one of those great studies that we did began with chapter 4 with a great verse that we're all familiar with. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, again, we covered that in our study. It's a great verse, but I want to point out to you, as I did then, this is not a suggestion. See, this is a command. Didn't say, try to rejoice always. Doesn't say, if you feel like it, rejoice. Doesn't say, rejoice at the right time. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. It goes on to say, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Boy, that's tough. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to key in on some of those key words in that text just now. The first one I want to kind of key in is rejoice always. And, you know, we're familiar with that concept of being told to rejoice always, but it seems like we're a lot easier to grumble and complain and be frustrated than it is to rejoice. I think that comes more natural to us because there's a lot of that in the world. And of course, when we're around the world and we're in the world, we kind of pick up some of those characteristics. And the people of Philippi, where the book of Philippians was written to, they were very familiar with some of the things going on, and they were very upset. For example, Philippi was a seaport, and people were coming there from all over the world, and they kept bringing their culture and their language, and the people of Philippi felt like they were losing their culture. There were only two financial groups of people in town, the rich and the very poor. And Rome was in control of the seaport, so the people were heavily taxed. Now, doesn't it seem to me those struggles sound a little familiar in 2022? Culture changing, taxes, the gap between the rich and the poor widening. The truth is, we have some of those same feelings that they were struggling with all the way back in the town of Philippi. These feelings are thinking, making us anxious. People are more anxious today, I hear, than ever before. There are more support animals out today than have ever been in history. And you know, wherever you go, you see a support animal here, there, wherever. I saw someplace that they had a support horse that was on an airplane. I didn't fly on that airplane. I wouldn't have flown on the airplane. This time of season, having these problems makes us jaded, makes us question things, even question God, makes us want to give up. And it all begins in our minds. It's all about controlling what goes into our minds as to what comes out of it. And we need to be focusing on rejoicing. In the midst of all these reasons for negativity, and I grant you, there are some. There are lots of reasons to be anxious during this holiday season, but rather give in to those ugly thoughts, why not try God's peace? D.L. Moody, great preacher of past, expressed it this way. He said, joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows right on through the dark. Joy flows in the midst as well as in the day. Joy flows all through persecution and opposition. It is the increasing fountain bubbling up in my heart, a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him. I don't think that last line is an accident there. We walk in joy when we walk in obedience to him. So that gives us a clean, clear mind. We have no conscience that's worried about because we're being obedient to him. We're living in obedience, and we can have joy in our life. The combination of joy and walking with God and being in obedience makes all the difference in how our mind works. When we walk in obedience, we have a deeper sense of peace and purpose that God is still there. God is still control. And I get you. I'm with you. You look around. things are falling apart. You know, you look at government, you look at culture, you look at education, you just look at every aspect of life in America, and it seems like it's degrading to some degree. And that does make us anxious, but our hope is not in those places. See, our hope is in God. Our hope is he has not moved an inch. He's still there for us. He's still waiting for us. He is still in control. Paul goes on to say this in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there are any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about such things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Our thinking needs to be comparable to the true and the honorable and the pure and the lovely and all those areas that were just embraced in Scripture. And I'm not denying that there are bad things that happen in the world, but we need to work to, and it's our number two point, be positive. It is so easy to be negative. It's not hard. It's just join the crowd. You know, when you turn on the news at night, they aren't listening to positive things. You have one positive thing. Usually it's the last thing of the evening just to get you to stay for the half hour so that you'll watch the one positive thing that's there. Everything else is negative. But we got one positive news article, and come back and you get to see it after 15 commercials. You know, that's how they do that, because they know you want to hear the positive. I think there's naturally, we want to hear the positive. We hear so much negative, but we want to hear the positive. We know that we can emphasize the positive or the negative in our lives, and it's going to make a difference in who we are. There's an old Indian story. I'm sure you've heard it many times. A Cherokee Indian chief was teaching his grandson about life, and he said, "A fight is going on inside of me," he said to the young boy. "A fight between two wolves. The dark one is evil. He's angry, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, ego." And he continued, "The light wolf is good. He's patient. He's peace, love, hope, sincerity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." That same fight is going on inside of you, grandson. And that same fight is going on inside of every person on this earth. And the grandson pondered for a moment, and he said, "Well, grandfather, which wolf will win?" And the old Cherokee smiled and simply said, "The one you feed." Which one do you feed in your life? You know, if you're constantly hearing negative thoughts, whether it's the news or a show, or a person, or a place, if you're constantly being fed negative thoughts, you need to remove yourself from that. You don't need those negative thoughts. We can combat ugly thoughts when we focus on good things. You know, and I'd say the bad things that happen in life, and all of us are facing them, some of the difficult things that are happening in life, you need the more good in your life for as much bad as there is. And this company, we've got a lot going on in this country. You know, pandemic. You know, in Florida, we kind of have a pretty relaxed attitude toward pandemic in most part. We're sort of like, we think we're safe. You want to wear a mask? Go ahead. You want to get 6 feet apart? Go ahead. Be safe. But we're sort of like, it's up to you. Just coming from out west, there's some places it's not optional still. You know, so I'm just telling you, we're not together on this. There's staggering inflation. I'm not having to tell you. All you got to do is fill up your car, pay for anything. My goodness, Thanksgiving dinner. You know, you had to sell a kidney just to get a turkey and enough food to feed all the people this year because it was so expensive. Division. We've had division over policies, over politics, over race. We can have division over gender. I mean, there's division in everything we turn around and look at, and there's so much more. So I want to say, there are a lot of things going on. I'm not trying to minimize that. But I'm saying don't focus on the bad. You go back to the best thing that ever happened. What's the best thing that's ever happened in the life of mankind that we can look back to and we can smile at it? That's the birth of Jesus. That's right. And this time of year is the best time of year of all to be able to look back and remember the birth of Christ and have a smile and say, yes, the world is falling apart. Yes, there are bad things happening. But Jesus came and he died on a cross for me. That changes it all. Author James Martin tells a story about a Holy Land trip that he went to and bought a nativity set for his church. He thought it would be a great display at Christmas time, and it had been carved out of olive wood in the very town of Bethlehem by artisans there. He had sheep and oxen, the men, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, of course, the baby Jesus. He began to return home and had to go through security at Tel Aviv Airport. And they didn't. He didn't figure that was going to be a big deal, but they started taking the individual figurines and x-raying them one by one. And he thought, this is a little overkill. And he asked the guard, he said, why do we have to go to that much extreme? He says, you see, we must make sure there's nothing explosive in them. And that's when the author said this, the truth is the Christmas story is explosive. It is the world changing. Overnight, in the birth of a child, the world changed. Chapter 2 of Luke, very familiar with. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field watching over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What's the most true, the most noble, the most right, the most pure, most lovely, most admirable, most thoughtworthy, praiseworthy news to ever happen? It was brought by shepherds in a field to tell the world good news and great tidings. We need to celebrate the good news of Jesus. Maybe we spend so much time in the negativity that we don't spend as much time celebrating the good news of Jesus. The good news in our minds, and it carries on to our actions. The Savior has come to rescue the world. It is worth fighting about, worth arguing about, worth anything, but nothing is more positive than to share the good news. For those shepherds 2,000 years ago, they began the rejoicing that resounds to this day. The gospel message of the Savior has come. He's kept his mission. He has sacrificed his life for everyone. And the key in maintaining healthy and positive attitudes, remember that. If our greatest need at that time had been information, God would have sent a teacher. If our greatest need at that time had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need at that time had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need at that time had been pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need at that time was forgiveness, so he sent a Savior. The greatest need has always been to receive Christ and forgiveness of our sins. The birth of Jesus is the greatest good news there could be, because conflict can be resolved when Jesus is put at the center of the issue. Author and missionary Gordon MacDonald tells a story. A Nigerian woman who was a physician in a great teaching hospital in the United States came to me after a lecture I'd just given. She introduced herself using her American name. What's your African name? I asked, and she immediately gave it to me, several syllables long with a musical sound to it. He asked, what does that mean? She answered, it means child who takes the anger away. When I inquired as to why she was given that name, she explained, my parents had been forbidden by their parents to marry, but they loved each other so much they defied their parents' options and married anyway. For several years, they were ostracized from both families. When my mother became pregnant with me, and when the grandparents held me in their arms for the first time, the walls of hostility came down. I became the one who swept the anger away. And that's the name my mother and father gave me. That's the perfect image of Christmas. Jesus, the one who came to take the anger away. He takes our sins, the condemnation that we deserve, and no one here can even begin to think that they don't deserve it. We're a group of imperfect people. We have all failed. We need a Savior. But he helps us to understand and realize the greatest gift given to mankind was Jesus, and we can celebrate it every day. Would you pray with me? Father, what a praise, blessing we have in the birth of Jesus. Even in a time when we struggle with ugly thoughts and we're struggling with negativity around us and so much bad things going on in the world, we can turn to Jesus and realize he is still the greatest gift ever given, that he is still the greatest reason for joy in our lives. Even in the midst of the problems, even in the midst of all of the conflict and issues and words that are said and all of the negativity that happens, Jesus is still the one that can bring peace. We thank you, Father, for Jesus. He has changed our lives. He changed the world when he came into this world, and he changed our lives. And Father, he still does it daily. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity to learn more about him and to be able to honor him with our lives. And I pray, Father, that you help us today to understand that better. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.